The voice you are about to hear belongs to a fictional character. The events do not. They are unfolding across East of England today. This is Hassan's story. In Southend West and Lee, qualified healthcare professionals work as assistants while training centres sit half empty, their simulation labs gathering dust. The work that keeps communities healthy goes undone not for lack of people willing to do it, but because someone in Westminster decided there wasn't enough money to connect the two. Hassan wanted to be a paramedic. Here's what blocked him.
My parents arrived from Karachi in the 1980s and built a life around their corner shop on London Road. Dad worked the early shifts, mum handled the evening rush, and I grew up measuring my height against the shelves of tinned beans and packets of biscuits. The shop was everything to us, but it was watching the paramedics that changed my path. My grandfather lived with us after his diabetes worsened. Those emergency calls, usually in the early hours when his blood sugar crashed, were terrifying. But the paramedics who responded were steady and calm, talking him through each step while they worked. They treated him with such dignity, speaking Urdu when they could, explaining everything to my parents. One night, after they'd stabilized him and were packing up their kit, one of them told me, "This job teaches you that everyone's story matters. Every call we answer is someone's world falling apart, and we're there to put it back together." I was 14. I knew then what I wanted to do. I stayed local for sixth form at Southend High School for Boys, working weekends at the corner shop and evenings as a healthcare assistant at Southend Hospital. The ward work showed me the other side of emergency care, the recovery and rehabilitation that happens after the ambulance leaves. I loved it. By the time I finished my A-levels in 2019, I had 3 years of hospital experience and absolute certainty about my future. That's when I first hit the wall. I applied to study paramedic science at Anglia Ruskin University, along with my application fee and a personal statement that ran to exactly the word limit. The admissions office called me in March. "We're sorry," the administrator said, "but Health Education England has capped training places at just 40 for the entire East of England region. We received nearly 200 applications this year." 40 places for the whole region. I asked if they expected more places next year. "We're told it depends on the budget allocation," she said, but don't give up." I didn't give up. I stayed at the hospital, reapplying each year. In 2021, I called NHS England Workforce Planning directly. I wanted to understand the process, to know if there was anything I could do to improve my chances. The person who answered was polite but blunt. "We simply don't have the budget for more paramedic training places. Treasury spending limits mean we have to prioritize." I asked what they were prioritizing instead. There was a pause. "Look, I understand your frustration, but the money just isn't there." I started taking evening courses in emergency first aid and patient transport, anything that might strengthen my next application. The courses were good, taught by working paramedics who encouraged me to keep trying, but they confirmed what I already suspected. There were dozens of people like me in every class, qualified healthcare workers trying to move into emergency care, all of us blocked by the same bottleneck. In 2022, I visited the university again to ask about my latest application. While I was there, I walked through the medical simulation center. The facilities were impressive. High-tech mannequins, mock ambulances, everything you'd need to train the next generation of paramedics, but half the rooms were empty. I got talking to the facilities manager as she locked up. "We've got capacity for 80 more students," she mentioned casually. "All this equipment sitting idle most days, but Health Education England's budget allocation hasn't changed in 3 years. 80 more students. The training places existed, the facilities existed, the instructors existed. But someone in London had decided there was no money to connect them. I applied again in 2023, knowing what the answer would be, but unable to stop trying. Same response, same polite apology, same reference to budget constraints. By then, I'd been working at Southend Hospital for 4 years. I knew every department, every ward rotation, every piece of equipment. I was ready, more than ready. That's when I met Elena, Andre, and Marta. All three were qualified paramedics from Romania, working alongside me as healthcare assistants because their overseas qualifications weren't being fast-tracked for recognition. Elena had 7 years' experience with Bucharest Emergency Services. Andrei had worked mountain rescue in the Carpathians. Marta had been a trauma specialist in Cluj. All three spoke excellent English, knew UK protocols, and were desperate to work in their qualified roles. The recognition process is stalled, Elena explained during a break. Same reason as the training places. They say there's no budget to fast-track overseas qualifications, even though we could fill vacancies tomorrow. She gestured toward the emergency department, where ambulances queued outside because there weren't enough paramedics to respond to calls quickly enough. The pieces fell into place. British students who wanted to train as paramedics couldn't get places because there was no money. Qualified paramedics from overseas couldn't get their credentials recognized because there was no money. Meanwhile, the ambulances queued, the training centers sat half empty, and the people who needed emergency care waited longer than they should. That contradiction forced me to ask the question I'd been avoiding. What exactly was it that there was no money for? The building existed, the equipment existed, the instructors existed, the students existed, even the qualified paramedics existed, working in lower level roles because someone had decided the recognition process was too expensive to run properly. I started to understand that when someone said, "There is no money," they weren't describing a fact about the world. They were describing a choice. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins was telling me it couldn't find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. I'm still here, still working at the hospital, still applying each year, but I hear the excuses differently now. When someone tells me there's no money for paramedic training, I think about those empty simulation rooms. When someone says the budget won't stretch to qualification recognition, I think about Elena and Andrei and Marta, whose expertise we're wasting because someone chose to waste it. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The government that issues the currency decided not to spend it into the places and the people who needed it most. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness. I know now this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. But the cupboard was never bare. Someone just chose to keep it locked.
What Hassan experienced has a name, fake experts. This technique works by citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget myth as self-evident truth, as though repeating it makes it accurate. Think of how tobacco companies once hired doctors to endorse cigarettes, lending medical authority to commercial interests. The repetition of credentials didn't make the claims true, but it made them sound authoritative. In Hassan's case, every official who said there is no money was channeling fake expertise about government budgets. They spoke with the certainty of people stating natural law. Water flows downhill, governments run out of money. But only one of those statements is true. When NHS England Workforce Planning claimed Treasury spending limits prevented paramedic training, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. When Health Education England froze budget allocations, they were treating pounds like a finite resource that government must find before it spends. When recognition processes stalled for budget reasons, they were pretending the UK Treasury works like a corner shop till. The objection comes ready-made. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The resources existed, the people existed, the decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Southend West and Lee ranks 333 out of 543 English constituencies on the Deprivation Index, English Indices of Deprivation 2025, MHCLG. The constituency has 364 registered charities, Charity Commission Register, England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £5.8 million, 360 giving grant NAVI. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics produced by Blocked Britain.